eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, here we go on the podcast on a Wednesday. Eddie, what's up, man?
Hello, podcast people.
What do you got?
What do I have?
This is usually where Al comes up with the topics.
Yes. I did watch that Neil deGrasse Tyson dog evolution
thing. Did you really?
Yes. And it was lifted from his redo of the Cosmos series. So it was a short little thing. But
okay.
It was interesting. And it led me to some other interesting things.
On YouTube.
On,
is that where this was?
Yes.
This was on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I was perusing YouTube yesterday. It is the most fascinating thing I've ever seen with the algorithms, as they say, and the crap that pops up. So listen to this theory. And I know you don't like golf, but I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Mm-hmm.
So because my younger son is hooked beyond hooked on the game, that's all he watches now is YouTube golf. We know these the way Gio watches it.
Mm-hmm.
My wife knows who these golfers are now. It's pretty crazy. So there was one guy that popped up. It's called the Random Golf Club. I think that's the name of his channel, I think. And I've never heard of him. Don't know who he is. So I'm like, oh, I'll pop this up. What's this look? Because I think the title in the show was like 30 golf courses in 30 days or 30 rounds in 30 days. I'm like, damn. I'm like, how the hell do you do that with a job? Well, it turns out this is his job.
Okay.
As we found out. This is the theory, which I cannot believe golf courses allow, and yet they do. It's what they call a meetup. So he puts it out there on his social media for any of his quote-unquote followers and golfers to meet up at a specific golf course at a specific time. And then they have a multiple-person scramble, meaning everybody plays and you take the best score.
Mm-hmm.
They have like 50 people that show up. And in some cases, 150 people. And they're all playing the same holes together. You have to see the video of a mob scene of people with bags on their backs walking down fairways. And they take the best tee shot, and then everyone drops, and everyone's hitting. I want to know how someone hasn't gotten killed, number one. Then number two, the fact that these courses allow them to even finish rounds in the dark using cell phone. It's unbelievable to me.
That's got to take forever.
It does, actually. That's what I thought. He said it takes 2.5 hours to play nine holes.
Oh, nine. They're only playing nine?
They play nine, yeah. And so in this specific video I was watching, they started in Michigan, I believe. They wound up playing. They wound up playing Bethpage Black, but only three. They couldn't do that at Bethpage Black. I guess I don't know if they wouldn't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Then they played off the Pelham Parkway. Does that sound right? He says the oldest public course in the country, where there were, I mean, so many people. Then they went out to New Jersey. Then they were they were all over the place. And the amount of people that follow and play is unbelievable to me.
And does he play for free because of the
publicity? I don't know. Eddie, I have no idea. Like, even all these YouTube golfers that Gio watches, I don't know if they get it complimentary because you're mentioning their club and you are getting 400,000 and 500,000 views to the video, so now they see blah 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 country club. I don't know. I really don't know.
But these exclusive clubs, they wouldn't care, wouldn't need you.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that I've seen exclusive clubs. There might be some private country clubs in that will still allow you, but like I don't think you're going to see anybody playing Augusta National for YouTube. Mm-hmm. I don't think. I could be wrong. But it was very interesting. So I turned 50 yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Here's my question to you. It has nothing to do with birthdays. It has more so to do with my mom called me yesterday to wish me a happy birthday, and she said, I don't know where, it's hard to believe that it's 50 years. And I could sense like almost a, not depression, but almost a sadness twinge in her voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like I'm anywhere near the end of my life or anything like that. But 50. At what point did you sit there and look in the mirror and be like, Christ, when did this happen?
Yeah, it was probably late 40s.
Okay.
Not a specific number.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. This is what it is. And
based on what, though? Just the way you looked or the way you felt?
No, felt. Okay. Felt. You know, when like the arthritis was you know, kicking in, and it's just, you know, harder to get going.
For sure.
And yeah, so it was more the arthritis than anything else, and the pain involved in that, and the time it takes my knees to sort of loosen up and all that stuff.
And you do, I mean, I know that I understand the diabetes, but do you take medication for other stuff or is that it?
Yeah.
Well, you do?
The autoimmune cascade, as they call it, once you get one autoimmune disease, like type 1 diabetes, it will almost always lead to others kicking in. So the next thing for me was Synthroid, my thyroid disease.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to take Synthroid. I have to take insulin to replace my pancreas. I have to take Synthroid to replace my thyroid. And then just normal age stuff, I take a prostate med.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also, for the psoriatic arthritis, I take a shot every 12 weeks. To help with that, to sort of, it doesn't fix it. It just sort of slows down the progress of like the degradation of my knee joints and other joints. So, yeah, I'm on a bunch of meds.
See, and maybe for me, like I don't look in the mirror yet. I mean, I see weight gain, but I don't feel like I haven't got to that point yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think partly because I don't take any medication still, never really have. So that's a good thing, I think. And also I think the fact that I had such severe back issues in my early 30s and mid-30s,
I really remember, actually
through my 30s, to be quite honest. And yet in the last 5 years, it's gone the other way. Aside from last December, meaning a year and 4 months ago, not 4 months ago, where I went and I had a slip disc is what it was. But when the doctor was looking at x-rays from when I was 35 to 49 or 48, and he asked me if it was the same, if they were mine, because the stenosis I had looked like it almost repaired itself, which he was puzzled. He's like, is this yours? I'm like, well, yeah, it's mine. So I think because I had those issues and it didn't deteriorate, actually has gotten better.
And but that's unusual from what the doctor is saying?
I have no idea. He asked me three times, are you sure you're giving me the right x-ray from 13 years ago? Because this looks a lot better than this.
Mm-hmm.
The one issue that I do have where I see the difference in the age is the energy. I struggle during the weekends. I am fine. I know it's the sleep. I get it. But weekends, I'm fine. I go to bed at 10:30, 11 o'clock. I set my alarm for 7. I'm usually up by 6:30. And I'm ready to go. And I am good all day. And the same thing on Sunday. And Fridays I'm good because it's Friday. I will tell you, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like yesterday, my plan was to, since it was my birthday, no one was home. I'm like, I'm not going to sit around and do nothing. I want to go do something. So I fully anticipated going down to Colts Neck and playing golf. There was a million tee times available because no one was playing. And I'm driving home. I couldn't keep my eyes open. I'm like, all right, no big deal. I'll go home. I'll take a 30-minute nap and I'll get in the car and I'll go. I took a 30-minute nap. I couldn't get going.
Mm.
Like I was just shot all day. And I probably snapped out of it at like 3:30. But in that moment, I made the decision. I'm like, you know, I'm going to sleep instead. And I slept good the night before. And that sucks.
Yeah.
You know, the energy, that's a problem.
Yeah, I'm going to attribute it to our damn schedule. Now, granted, we're getting older and all, but this our schedule is brutal.
No, I know it
and
is.
And it's unnatural. And, you know, and I probably do the best of all of us because I, you know, don't know kids and I'm pretty good about getting to sleep before 6 p.m.
Right.
But still, it is an unnatural sleep schedule.
It's a grind.
And for your, you know, whatever, body rhythms and all that other stuff. And then the weekend, you like you, sort of get back to normal, and then it starts all over again.
Yeah, no, it does. So, and you know what? I'm lying. Now that I'm talking actually to you, I did not sleep good Monday night because I had cornhole.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to bed until 11 o'clock, actually.
Yeah, it was a special.
I slept 11 to 3.
Yeah, and not good.
No, that's probably, not probably, that's part of it, too. But on a that said, on a regular basis, my energy midweek, if I don't keep going, once I sit down, dead. Can't keep my eyes open.
Yeah.
And then I have no energy to do anything. Like, I think with my older son, he would come home from school. I would be out shooting hoops with him every day, throw the baseball. I don't remember napping or ever watching TV. Now that he's my younger son's going to be 14, so it's not like he's a little boy anymore. But I did not do. I coached him more, and I was around him as much, but I didn't do as much with him outside like I did with Matthew. I just didn't. You know, did a lot. I'm not going to say I didn't, but it was every day with him. Maybe because Matthew was an only child at the time. I felt bad. I don't know. I just don't have the energy to do it. It's weird.
Yeah, well, it's just part of – that's just the way things are.
I know. But so that's the only feeling I have.
Unless you want to start going with, you know, testosterone shots and all that other stuff.
No, I mean, that could be. I mean, I the one thing I do know is in terms of the weight gain, there's no question my metabolism has slowed down considerably. You know, for whatever reason, I track my calories. My calorie count is pretty low most days. I gain weight.
Under 2,000.
I gain. Oh, yeah, yeah. My goal is 1,550.
And you're not an energy drink guy, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm usually two cups of coffee a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. One on the way in and then another one during the course of the morning, and that's it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And you know, we laugh when you know, when Boomer is yawning during the show and all. But, my God, at his age, I mean, granted, he is a professional athlete, so he has a genetic advantage over us in that regard. But his energy is remarkable at his age. Not that it's, you know, he's not 80, but
he
still.
He does have you're right. I'm not taking anything away. He does have the benefit of getting in significantly later than we do.
Yes.
I mean, you're here at 3 o'clock. I'm here usually by a quarter to 4. Mm-hmm. Al's here by 4. Because we really have to be ready to go on at 5.
Yes.
And in my case, I start taping for 8:80 at 4:30.
Right.
So I can't get here later than I do. Leaving the house for me at 3 as opposed to, say, 4:30 is a huge difference.
Sure.
Huge difference.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for this goddamn Holland Tunnel with the construction, this week where I'm hosting, I wouldn't get here at 4 o'clock. I'd get here at 5:30.
Right.
But I can't get caught in the stupid tunnel.
Yes. When they're picking up the cones.
Right. And so it's kind of is what it is, and I'm here when I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing for you. I saw this on MSN. I forget, whatever I think it's the Microsoft home screen on my computer, on my laptop at home. They always have space stories, always. And the one that caught me was the belief and why Stephen Hawking believes there's aliens in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what he calls the dark forest theory. Are you familiar with this?
No.
So the dark forest theory, which I just read about yesterday, is that the galaxy is so vast that there is a belief that there are not just one or two, but there are multiple planets that probably house some sort of alien life.
Mm-hmm.
That even by the numbers, it statistically is probable that
right.
there's alien life, although there's still no proof. And the theory being, we've never had the technology to reach out. Like all of a sudden we're trying to reach out constantly now.
Well, that started in the 70s with the SETI project.
Yeah, but now we're really yes. looking for aliens.
Yes.
And the theory being, it's like, don't wake a sleeping giant. Like, they're probably afraid of us as much as we're afraid of them, but they have no interest in coming to find us, but now it's almost like poking the bear.
Mm-hmm.
And he believes if aliens come, it will only be because we're annoying them. Essentially is what the theory is.
And I know he's past Stephen yeah. Hawking, but his big concern was that if you look at the history of when, you know, humans went to a new area, it never really worked out for the indigenous peoples and plant life and animal life. It was kind of a destruction mm-hmm. and a replacement. And that if you want to invite a, you know, alien civilization in, it might not go well for us.
Might be destruction.
Right. But the other thing is any, because there's no life in our immediate stellar neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about light years of distance.
Right.
Tens of light years, most likely, at least. So any civilization, any being that could invent the means to get here quickly, if they wanted to, and if they knew about us, and if they, or maybe they already know about us, they could just wipe us out anytime they wanted. If they have that level of technology to get here.
And that, intelligence, right.
Yes. And are, whatever, 1,000 years ahead of us, 1,000,000 years ahead of us in terms of, which is nothing in terms of the, you know, universal timescales, that they, you know, if they wanted to, we would be just gone anyway. So I disagree with his theory on that. But if there's another civilization out there that's sort of on par with us, at the same level as us, then it could be an issue. But that is so many years away from us at this point because we're nowhere near being able to travel at the speed of light or faster than the speed of light, which would what it would be really would take to be able to just like, oh, I want to go over to Alpha Centauri. So,
or we can't even get to Mars yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially.
So, you know, you're talking about developing faster than light travel, much less light speed travel.
And I lied. There was one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
The podcast you did with Al last week when I was away.
Which one?
Did you do two?
No, actually.
But there was one.
It was just one.
Well, whatever. When you guys were talking about the music.
Oh, yes. The Kinks.
I tell you, I knew Al knew music. Your recall of albums and songs, pretty impressive.
Yeah, for what I paid attention to.
Yeah,
like,
I know
I'm beyond that now.
I know, and I know you don't really listen to today's music, mm-hmm. and I know you're kind of, you like what you like from this, and that's great to me. Mm-hmm. I can't move past the 90s the way you don't really move past the 70s for the most mm-hmm. part. I mean, there's some things I do like, but the majority of what I listen to is still 90s and early 2000s music. I was left quite impressed. That was the podcast I got your clip from.
Oh, yes, yeah.
About the YouTube stuff.
Yeah.
I was on the turnpike listening. I'm like, damn, listen to Eddie.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. It wasn't just like you knew of bands. You knew the albums, the names of songs. It was pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't get a chance to or feel the need to flex, you know, but hey.
You flexed.
It's there.
You flexed.
Now, I want to circle back to the beginning of the podcast with the people, 100
yeah.
people golfing. I have to imagine that with that many people golfing and it's a scramble,
yeah,
you said,
yeah,
that they must shoot par
they do.
Every time.
I think he said on average they go a couple under par.
I would believe it, sure.
For the nine, because the yeah. one thing they showed in a lot of the clips were a lot of guys will chip in for birdies and because there's so many people.
Right.
Just by, again, the statistical probability of
yes.
someone putting the ball in out of 100, it's going to happen.
Correct. Even if you have a bunch of guys who are, you know, shoot 90 to 100,
yeah,
one, if you've got 50 people, one of them's going to hit a good one. So I imagine they're par or under all the time.
And then you got 100 people that can putt.
Right.
And so he said, I think he said average was two or three under for the nine holes almost every time they go out.
Yeah, I would believe it. Okay. I just thought that that would be the case. I just wanted to confirm it.
I really am. I've gotten to the point. So when I was, when I first started anchoring full time with Joe, I was really on the fence of, do I want to continue this broadcasting thing or do I want to, I didn't have kids yet. Did I have kids? No, not yet. So we're talking like 2001, 2003. We didn't have kids yet. And I was on the fence of, do I want to keep up this radio thing and see where it takes me? Or do I want to try and go to golf school and become a teaching pro? Because at that point I was really into golf. I was playing 4 to 6 times a week. I belonged to a club. We didn't have kids, so we had a lot of disposable money that I probably should have saved, but I used it there. And I looked into it, ultimately decided I'm going to give this radio thing a try. And having kids wasn't happening at that time, so I thought, if this doesn't work in a couple of years, I can circle back. Well, you fast forward, we have kids. I stopped playing golf when Matthew was born. I stopped playing almost entirely. From 2004 until like 3 years ago, I would venture to say I played 20 rounds of golf in those 17 years. Like, I did not play at all. Just an outing here or there or around with my dad here or there. But because of sports and travel and just being a dad, I felt there was no way I was going to leave my son home on a Saturday to go play. I just...
Like Gio does.
So anyway.
Hello.
Whatever. Now, I have come back to that person because of... Really, it started a couple of years ago, but last spring it really picked up when Matthew's, you know, high school season, baseball season ended, and he decided he wanted to start playing golf instead of baseball. He asked me to go a few times as opposed to him just going with his friends, and that turned into my younger son playing, really catching the bug, and now I'm back to playing. I would venture to say I'll play 4 to 6 times a week again, starting soon. I love it again. I'm back to that person. Not that I want to be a coach or anything. I couldn't at this point. But like, I want to like a golf career. But I don't know what to do. And I watch all these YouTube guys thinking, how the hell did I not think of any of this over the last few years? I didn't know this stuff was around. And now it's too late.
Yes.
You can't go start a YouTube channel with golf and make any money because these guys have done it first. Yeah. But it's like jealous is not the right word. Angry at myself for not coming up with some sort of a concept like that. Because I would love to, for the next phase of my life, because at some point they're going to fire me here. I mean, I've been around a long time. Like, that's what I want to do. I just don't know what to do.
Well, I would say you to sort of make a dent now in the YouTube, you would need a hook that is...
Oh, for sure.
Different. Like, and I don't know if this is out there or not, but like to get a big enough celebrity to do the channel with you.
I'm Boomer Esiason.
Or something like that, you know, or whoever. You have some, not like his contacts, but you have some contacts.
Sure.
Or maybe through him. Anybody that's, you know, has the time would be interested in partnering up. And, you know, that's what you would need, I would think, to sort of make an impact.
Well, a lot of them did make impacts by having people on, but it really was more just time. And just building it. It's like I told Al when he did that nutritional channel. I don't know if you ever saw it.
No.
He did it well, but he gave up on it after like 3 months. And he's even acknowledged he made a mistake. Like that, it takes time to actually build an audience to where people are going to subscribe and watch. And once you got them, you got them.
Right.
And he was doing a good job with that, and he quit on it way too soon, in my opinion. And that's the thing with a lot of these people. They start out with nothing. Next thing you know, they go... Eddie, not only do they have subscribers where they make money from YouTube for the advertising that gets put in it, they have sponsors like Callaway, TaylorMade. It blows my mind. It really does. It's phenomenal.
And they also, I'm sure almost all of them have some personality trait that draws people to them. Just like, you know, you have to like the person that you're watching do this stuff.
So that's always, as you've heard on the podcast, that's always my take on radio. You know, Al's trying to solve radio.
Right.
To me, it's not the topics.
Nope.
Doesn't matter if you have a guest or you don't have a guest. If you like who you're listening to, you will listen to whatever they're talking about.
Correct.
It's not guests don't turn people off. It's the hosts turn people off.
Right.
And in my opinion.
Like Mike and the Mad Dog doing movie reviews. People loved it.
I was never, if you were you know, I wasn't a Giant or a Jet fan. Yet every Monday at 1 o'clock, I put Mike and Chris on.
Yeah.
Listening about the Giants and the Jets. And I was the type of listener where I couldn't wait for them to go around the league at 4 o'clock where they would get to the Cowboys for 3 minutes.
And I'm not a big NBA fan. Love the 45-minute Hubie Brown
interviews. Yes. Like interviews to me, they do have value.
And I'm not an Oscars watcher. But when they had Jeffrey Lyons,
it was fun.
It was great.
I agree. So I think that akin to what you're talking about with YouTube is very true. You got to have personalities people like.
Yeah. And one more question. At your peak, were you ever scratch golfer?
No. I got my lowest handicap, I believe, was 13.1.
Oh.
And, I want
to
say,
be a teacher or a pro, you got to be scratch.
Well,
you
go to golf school.
Oh, okay.
And I think you have to be, I don't know this, I don't remember, but if I remember from back in the day, I think you had to have a handicap of less than 10, I believe was the number. So I wasn't that far off, and I thought if I went to golf school, that it was in North Carolina, the one I was looking at, you go for like a month or two or whatever. And I figured, yeah, I mean, a couple of tweaks, I can shave a few shots off my game, and I thought I could get there. I was trending in the right direction, but no, I was not that good. I've never been that good.
Okay.
So, but I love it, and I love walking. I don't like riding in a cart.
Mm-hmm.
I love everything about it. On a nice day, having a drink, walking the course, playing the game. You know, it's just, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm back to that kid again.
All right.
So, all right. Well, thank you for sitting in.
Very good.
Al will be back tomorrow or no?
Yes.
Okay. All right. This is the warm-up show with CeeLo and Fliegelman. That's coming up.
Which was hardcore sports talk.
I'm sure it was.
But they did a good job with the topics, I thought.
I'm sure they did. I was listening to other stuff, press conferences and watching highlights, but yes.
Okay.
You do the see ya, and we will catch you guys tomorrow.
See ya!